Hallelujah. Let's all stand all over this place. Lift our hands to the Lord. Let that be your prayer this morning, God. I just want to be a sanctuary, Lord Jesus. Prepare me, God, Lord Jesus, today. Prepare my heart, prepare my mind, Lord Jesus, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. It is indeed good to be back. We had a phenomenal youth camp. I know the young people aren't in here this morning, but I've been on the youth committee for almost 10 years, and I would have to say that our morning sessions were probably one of the most impacting morning sessions I've seen. The young people just tarried and skipped lunch. And, well, they didn't skip it, but they delayed it. And just powerful moves of God. Amen. If you have the opportunity to go buy those DVDs, I know they recorded the youth camp sessions as well. I'd encourage you as well. Get into the hands of a young person. It was powerful. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, starting right in verse 1. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So they went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Amen. This morning I want to take from verse 7. It says, "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." This morning I want to speak on the topic, choked out. Choked out. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you so much, Jesus, for your goodness, the presence that we feel in this place, your goodness and mercy in our lives, Lord Jesus, your direction, your leading, your guiding, Lord Jesus. I pray, anoint our hearts this morning. Anoint us to hear your word, Lord Jesus, that it would be fruitful, that the seed would fall on the good ground. Lord Jesus, I pray as you speak through us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't remember what state we were in, but I remember as a kid while traveling around the United States with my parents, church to church, as missionaries do, that one day I saw something I had never seen before. We were pulling up to somewhere, and I saw this massive tree, and I remember thinking that, wow, it's got just a ton of leaves on it. Even on the trunk of the tree and the branches, there were leaves everywhere. I saw a ton of as a kid as we traveled, but I'd never seen the infamous leafy tree. Well, come to find out as I looked closer and then my parents explained to me, the tree was not actually extra leafy, but rather there was a type of ivy that had grown so much, and it literally looked like it had covered the entire tree. It was wrapped around every branch, the trunk, the base of the tree. There was a tree there, but it was completely covered with ivy. And I don't know if anyone else has seen those. Actually, this on the way to camp toward Rosendale on 26, I kind of actually sparked this message, the thought. I saw this big ivy going up. It was actually a telephone pole line up to the telephone pole or the electrical pole. And it's just amazing that how ivy can grow. And so our opening scripture says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." The Greek word translated as the phrase "sprung up" means to go up, arise, ascend, climb. And the Greek word for "choked" means to stifle by drowning or overgrowth. Scripture talks about falling among thorns, but how great of a word picture is the ivy that can climb up a tree, wrap itself around the trunk and branches, and intertwine itself with the twigs and leaves of the tree. And the status of our lives, the soils of our hearts, can be just like this. Spiritual seed is sown into our lives, but because we have ivy growing all over, all around, that seed begins to grow, but is quickly choked out from that ivy. Have you ever been to a church service and heard the word of God and felt a nudge to walk a different road or make some changes in your life or some adjustments in your behavior? Maybe this past week at family camp, you were up there and God spoke to your heart, your life. But as you look back today, nothing has ever changed. That word has been choked out in your life. And like, God, I'm going to do it. Come down to an altar, come down to the front and pray and just feel stirred. And then a year goes by and you look back and it's like, man, I never did make that change. Why? Because, yeah, the seed got planted in your heart, but something choked it out. And the story of that Jesus is giving in this parable is in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And each time it describes how after the crowds left, Jesus gave his disciples some more explanation to the parable to help them understand it better. And speaking of the seed being choked out, if we look further down chapter 13 in Matthew, verse 22, he says, explaining this, he said, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Mark 4:18-19 says it like this, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world," again, "and the deceitful of riches," again, "and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." Then Luke relays it like this, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." So what causes the choke out? Some external factors are listed in these accounts: the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in, and the pleasures of this life. The deceitfulness of riches is one that is especially true. Excuse me. It's especially true in the United States, and one that we can relate with, basically the accumulation of wealth and stuff, the American dream. And that's what, honestly, so many folks are living for, just to get the next thing. And oftentimes, if they don't have stuff, it's, I just got to get by to the next paycheck. And there's this dream out there, man, if I can only have this amount of money or this dream or this thing, then I'll be happy. Oh, if I had this kind of boat, I'll be happy. Or if I had these Legos and this huge Lego, I'd be so much happier. And, you know, it just, that is, can relate to us, the accumulation of wealth or stuff. The deceit comes in when we think that is what will make us happy or content or fulfilled in life. Looking at scripture, I think of the rich young ruler, a story that we find in Mark. And it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way," and this is Jesus, "there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments.'" So, hey, you know what to do. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And the rich young ruler said, "Hey, master, all these things I've observed from my youth." Sweet, I'm set. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." Now this is, don't make a doctrine out of this. This is one scripture for this one young man. And you might be in this case where God says, "Hey, you're spending way too much energy on the whole wealth and stuff. Go sell everything." But for this guy, that's what Jesus said was required, that he needed to do. And it says, "He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Jesus was saying, give up this stuff so you can be fruitful and have life eternal. But there was a chokehold that his stuff had on him. In scripture, we find that the priorities of a Christian should be God, the family of God, and then the work of God. What happens when we are choked out? What happens when we are choked out by these various things is that there becomes a misalignment of our priorities. We are more concerned about the stuff in our lives, what's happening in our world, and the pleasures of life instead of God first and foremost in our lives. We got to get that next degree, because that next degree is going to help us get that next job. And again, nothing against education. I'm all for education. I went to University of Wisconsin. I encourage it. It's a powerful thing. However, if it's misaligned, if it's higher priority than God, then there's a misalignment there. And things will be choked out. We do get choked out with a misalignment of priorities. It's interesting to look at ivy and how it works and interacts with a tree or bushes to help us get the picture of the damage of its choking nature. Oftentimes, it's not the ivy itself that kills a tree or bush, but death comes as a byproduct of its presence. And it's just the same spiritually in the things that choke us out, riches, the pursuit of stuff, the cares of this world, the pleasures of life, most oftentimes don't destroy us outright spiritually, but they choke us. And the byproduct of their presence is spiritual death in our lives. So let's take a look at ivy and compare it. When ivy is intertwined with a tree, there is a fight for nutrients. Water and sunlight are essential to the maintenance and growth of plants. Amen. I'm sure Stephanie Zimmerman with her family's nursery could tell you about more about this. I'm not an expert, but I remember photosynthesis in school. Light coming, helping things grow. Anyways, go Google it if you want more information. And so the ivy gets into direct competition for these nutrients. The result is a weaker tree and one that is more susceptible to disease or injury. When our priorities are misaligned and we're not trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and letting Him direct our paths, that offense may come along, and instead of casting our cares upon the Lord, a root of bitterness begins to form in our hearts. We are more prone to hurts embedding themselves in our spirits when we're being choked out. The disease of faulty thinking may take hold in our lives, disease and hurts that could ultimately lead to our spiritual demise. Why? Because there are things in our lives that are choking us out. As a vine, ivy can completely engulf shrubs and encircle tree trunks of all sizes, leaving nothing uncovered. Shrubs shrouded in ivy may eventually die because light can't reach their leaves. Again, photosynthesis, light, photo, light, synthesis, it causes stuff, but it has to be in the leaves. That's the key for plants. 1 John 1:5-7, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on to them. Jesus is the light of this world. He illuminates our life and the areas that we need to grow in. When there's a covering that's not letting any light in, we're going to be choked out. We're not going to be able to clearly see where we need to change or how to react in a situation, or the truth of God's word. Maybe a seed of a message is planted in our hearts and we say, man, I got to change that area of my life. And then we go home and instead of God's light continuing to illuminate and saying, here's how to do it, here's the way to do it, and here's the steps to take, it's just like, yeah, I got to change, but I'm back in darkness. I'm back in the chokehold. And so that's all being blocked out when we're being choked out. Hallelujah. It also, the ivy not only blocks sunlight from coming in, but it blocks the ability to see that the tree is hurting, that there's decay or disease. Sometimes we need God's illuminating light to show us hurts and pains in our lives. Maybe how the past, or what someone said, or what someone did, or a situation, or a job loss, or whatever it may be, how it really impacted us. And that comes from the illuminating light of the Lord. But again, it's all blocked out when we're being choked by this world. Lastly, just the sheer weight of the ivy can be a danger to the tree. As it gets into the canopy, the upper branches, intertwining itself all throughout the tree, the top gets heavier and heavier. And what happens when a major storm comes through and there's something that's top heavy? It gets blown over. Maybe it's a bunch of snow. We can relate to that. Huge snowstorm. What happens to a tree? Top heavy, it falls over under the weight. Same thing with that ivy. Luke 21:34 says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Overcharged, original Greek word, means to be made heavy. So be careful. Take heed, lest your hearts be made heavy with the cares of this life, with surfeiting, with drunkenness. If we're being choked out, it may just take one storm of life to blow us right over and out of the church. Why? Because we're so top heavy. We're trying to live with all this stuff in our lives, ivy growing, intertwined in our spirits and making us heavy. And then something crazy happens. Something, family member dies and doesn't make sense. Tragedy strikes. A wind comes, a storm blows. Topples us over. Those are the external sources of being choked out. But as I was studying for this message, I found something interesting. As I mentioned, this parable of the sower was written by three different authors who have different perspectives, obviously Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Mark, again, Mark related like this in Mark 4:7, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no food." Sounds pretty much the same, however, same as Matthew and Luke. But remember, our King James Version is a translation of the original text. And it's interesting when you look at the original Greek word that was translated to choke. Matthew and Luke use the word apopnigo, and the definition of this Greek word being stifle by drowning or overgrowth. Very vivid word picture of the ivy overgrowing. This is what we talked about in that analogy. However, Mark uses a different Greek word, sumpnigo, in relaying this parable that Jesus told. The definition is similar, but it's slightly different. It means to strangle completely, to drown, or to crowd. Mark's interpretation of Jesus' parable that day and the word he chose to use included the element or the concept of crowding out. The seed was not just drowned or overgrown, but it was crowded out. I see this not like ivy taking over a tree, but or external forces at work in someone's life. Rather, I see this as my lilac bush at home. Let me explain. We closed on our house 3 years ago, this past April. Right at the end of April, it took a couple weeks to get it cleaned, to have it painted inside. And we finally moved in just right beginning of May and right around the time that our lilac bush bloomed. We actually have two, one right by the back patio, gets more sunlight, does a whole lot better. But this one, we were all excited about it blooming. We're like, wow, that's so awesome. And man, this thing was like massively huge. I mean, it's just like that. Like, that's what I thought when I went out there. I was like, whoa. But for the size of bush that it was, it didn't seem that there was a proportionate number of blooms on the bush. I mean, it was a huge thing. And there was a number of, but it was just like, you know, it just, something doesn't seem right. So you'd think there'd be more than this, but it was awesome. We're like, whoa, we own a lilac bush. Woo! What does that mean? What do I do? And so that summer I did research because it's like now I have a yard to manage and dandelions to kill and lilac bushes to figure out what I'm doing. And so I began to research it and found some things about lilac bushes and the importance of pruning and realized that our bush was so overgrown. And so that fall when I went to prune it, there were shoots everywhere. I don't know if you've been around a lilac bush, but from the bottom, just all these shoots come up. And they get thicker and thicker over the years. And, man, there was shoots that were intertwined, twisted into themselves and, like, connected. And, I mean, it was just, like, it was a mess down there. And it took so long to cut it back because I'm like, this is... number one, it's like taking over the patio, even though it's cool. But let me just trim it down this year, and we'll see what happens. Because I read about pruning, and Pastor Roy talked about pruning grapes, and I'm like, let's see if this works for lilacs. And so I cut off huge branches right down to the base, as I was instructed on Google or YouTube, or I forget where. And when it was done, I almost felt like I'd overdone it. I'm like, there's a little scrawny lilac bush. wasn't that bad. But at that point, it was too late. Couldn't do anything about it. I'm like, well, we'll see if I just killed this thing or not. Good old Phil Gardner. Debbie Millen would be mad at me. But anyways, I should have just called her over and said, what do I do? Anyways, but just like our lilac bush, another way that the seed that is sown into our lives becomes unfruitful is that it gets crowded out. Just like ivy competes with a tree for nutrients and resource, a lilac bush can begin sending so many shoots of its own and the resources that are available to it, the sun, the water. It's the same amount of sun and water, but now there's all this competition in and of itself. And this little shoot's like, I want to grow, and this big, you know, anyways. I don't know if you think that way, but hello, I want to grow. I'm the big, amen. It might be impressive that the, Lila, that's not in my notes, Lord help me. It might be impressive that the lilac bush is large and growing and there's new shoots from the bottom, but I can tell you that the cool thing about our lilac bush is not that it's there and it's large. I mean, like right now, it's just like, hey, we have a lilac bush. But man, that first week of May, it's like, those few weeks of it, like you see the blooms coming up, you see them forming, and then poof, they all open up, and that lilac bush is white in color, and just you step out, and just the fragrance of lilacs, and it's just like, you know, and then I clip some off and take them in the house, and feel like, oh, flowers, and I'm like, I picked them for you, you know, and but that's the great thing about lilac bushes. It's not the other, like, you know, 52 and a half or 50 weeks in the year. It's those 2 weeks, 3 weeks where it's just like boom and it's like poof. So the importance is not that it's big, but that there is like 1,000 million blooms. And what happens when it gets crowded in the lilac bush? You simply don't have as many blooms because there's competition for those nutrients. Year one was cool, so I thought, but that fall, like I said, I pruned it down and the next spring there was blooms everywhere. It was stunning, seriously. You should come out next May. It'll be awesome. I cut back some of the growth again that fall, and in year three this year, I mean, there was even more. And it's just, and literally, it's like, I just cut you down, and now you're like 10 foot tall again. It's like, what happened? But it's just like, there's just this explosion of growth. Why? Because I cut back the crowding out. And so then those blooms are like, I've got nutrients, yay! You know, just like the lilac bush. Our lives can be crowded out and choked out and become fruitless. So what do we do? In this dark world when there's a lot of confusion, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty, craziness this past week with protests and folks getting killed and cops getting killed and just, it's like, what in the world, God? Where is our world going to? I know I need the light of God in my life. I know I need his direction and wisdom. Raising a son in this time is a scary thing. As a parent, now I need the seeds of his word to take hold in my heart and my spirit and grow, and so I can parent with wisdom. I don't want to be choked out. So first, we need to make sure our priorities are lined up. Is God number one in our lives? We need to ask ourselves that. Are we faithful to the house of God, or is our church attendance based on when we feel like it? You're all here this morning, so praise God. But what about Wednesday? What about next Sunday? What about tonight? Like, I got one service. I'm good. Feel good. God is good. Man, got my worship on. Woo-hoo. And God is saying, you know what? I got maybe a little nugget tonight from Pastor Roy. And you need to be there. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. That's twice in one day. Oh. I might have to take a nap. That's why everyone takes naps on Sunday afternoons. It's got church twice. We have a prayer meeting this coming Friday night. Is that a non-negotiable entry on our calendar, or is it wait to see what's going to come up on Friday? And then I'll decide if I'm going to go that night. Are we exposing ourselves to the Word of God through the written Word in our Bible reading or the spoken Word at church? Are the seeds of His Word being sown into our lives? We need to make Him number one. First and foremost, when we trust in the Lord and kneeling not unto our own understanding, as Proverbs 3 challenges us to do, we'll have the focus needed to identify the choking elements in our lives, the things that are crowding out our lives. Then what do we need to do? It's pretty simple. We need to get weeding. You know, can I tell you that we had this little plot of dirt ground in Germany. You don't have big fields. Thank the Lord we didn't have a big yard like I had as a kid, because I would have cried. But we had this little, like, my mom had flowers and stuff, and that was the worst chore ever. I hated it. It was weeding. Go weed the yard. It's like, but mom, in like a week, they're going to be back. Then you're going to have to do it again. Exactly. I don't want to go. And it was like, it was tiring. You're on your knees. You're in the dirt. It's grody. You know, although I did grow up in Greece with dirt, and that's why I never get sick. Well, rarely get sick. We need to get rid of our, anyways, all our antibacterial stuff. That's why all these kids are sick. Glory. That was from the Lord. That was for someone out there. Kid needs to eat some dirt sometime. Anyways, but I notice my fingernails are clean and they're not dirty, but Lori, I'm the one to talk. Anyways, but I hated that as a kid. Like, it was the worst chore ever. Any other, like, Dane, yeah. See, Scott and Vicky, like, tortured Dane. Like, poor guy, he had to weed his, you know. But it was a continual project. It took work, and the same is in our lives. We have to continually pull out the things of this world. The pleasures of life, the deceitfulness of riches, get ourselves back into alignment with priorities. We have to keep the soil of our hearts free and clear. Proverbs 24, verse 30, starting in verse 30, says, I went by the field of the slothful, the lazy guy, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and they thy want as an armed man. You know, it's going to take work. But if we don't tend to our garden of our souls, of our spirits, of our hearts, of our minds, you know what? In a month, it's going to be overgrown. And then, like, I'll get to it. I'll get to those things. I'll get to the weeds. And then 2 months go by, it's going to be more overgrown. And then those nasty, like, needles and thistles come up. Man, we had those are the worst. You know, you got to wear gloves. And then they poke right through the gloves. And it's like, man, I need, like, I'm hearing, yes, come on. You know what I'm talking about. You feeling me? But, you know, it's just, that's what happens in our hearts. Then it's like nastier weeds that we have to get rid of. And it's just like it's harder to get rid of. But if we every week go out there and force ourselves as a kid to pull the weeds because that's our chore, if we look at it that way in our lives, it's going to be easier, continual process. See, English ivy climbs up trees and walls by attaching with suction cup-like roots called holdfasts. And these little attachments are so strong that if they're on walls, it often needs sandblasting to remove them. This is not easy work to do. It's not, I'm just going to get rid of everything. Well, usually it's so embedded in us. Have you ever seen those ivy? It's just like, it's wrapped around and it's like, okay, I'm just going to pull this ivy off this tree. And it's like, and then it all rips. And it's like, now I got to pull this one. And it can wrap around. And so it's not easy cutting out the deceitfulness of riches or the pursuit of stuff in our lives. It's not easy getting rid of the cares of this world or the pleasures of life. Sometimes we are so intertwined with something, we may get some of it out of our lives, but it just grows right back. And so we have to take drastic action sometimes. I saw this when I was looking into this and stumbled across a video, a guy who had some land, and he was, this one part of his property had these trees, and he wanted to grow stuff there, but it was overgrown with poison ivy. And so he was talking about, he wanted to get rid of it, but if you like spray in the trees, it's just, you don't, because there's so much of it and it's been growing for so long that you just can't tackle it. And so he's like, so what do you do when you get, it's up in the tree and everywhere? He's like, this is what you do. And he pulled out the shear thingies and basically cut a foot out of the vine at the bottom of the tree. Basically cut out the food source And he said, eventually, everything above this block that I pull out is going to die. Eventually, it'll all die. But I have to take drastic action and cut it out down here. Because if I try to spray up there, it's just going to keep growing. It's just going to keep growing. And then he's like, once that happens, then I can deal with the root of it and go deeper. But at least I get that first part, and it will die. Church, we may just need to get drastic and make some deep cuts because we're fighting an impossible battle. Well, I'll just take this out. Well, I'll just slightly try. It's like it'll probably just grow back. I remember back in the day before Netflix was streaming. Back in the day, I remember you get those. I don't know if they still do it, but you'd get the red discs in the mail, and they mail it to you, and it was like revolutionary. We're all like, "Woo! We don't have to go anywhere. We can just, you know, you put your list of videos you want to watch, and you can only have, I think, 3 at a time. It was, and so many bucks a month. And but as soon as you return one, they'll send the next one on your list. And so I'm like, you know, mathematical. I'm like, dude, okay, like $8. Like back then, as like video rentals were like $3, and so like at least, you know, 3 to break even. But man, if I did like 10 a month, I'd be like 50 cents a rental. And so, man, I had my list, like Gilligan's Island, you know, all the like animation, like just everything that was clean that I could find at that time. And it was just my like queue list was long. And so it's like, boom, boom. And it's like, I'd get one in the mail and be like, yeah, we're watching it tonight. We're going to get it back because there's another one on the queue list. And it was like, man, the postman was just bringing Netflix videos to my house like every day. Just like, it was awesome, you know? And it was just like, I've got to get the most out of my money, you know? And it's just, some of you have been there, you know? And it's, now it's just like, oh, Netflix, I got to stream all this stuff. I got to get the most out of it, man. I just, you know? Well, what, you know, I could have said, well, I'll just limit myself. I'll just put, you know, I knew myself. And I knew it was like, okay, you know, what we did, we canceled Netflix. And it's like, I had to cut that out. Why? Because I knew I could, you know, like, it might have for a month, I would have been like, all right, I'm only going to watch one animation this month. Well, the next month, I'd have been like, I paid $8 for that rental. I got to get back to my, you know, economical, and I would have just gone back. And so I cut it out, cut it through the base. And that was us. That was me. Maybe I'm speaking to some Netflix fans out there. Rachel Colthorpe, pastor's wife, superintendent from Illinois, she spoke here last fall, and I think she spoke at a ladies' retreat once and told, kind of relaying just how she, their family operates, and Fiona brought this home to us and told me just, it's really drastic. Basically, they have no media usage during the week. They don't watch movies. They don't do the things online. And the weekends, you know, week is for family time, for schoolwork, for getting things done, for being together, devotions. And on the weekends, that's when they allow certain limit. And I don't know all the details. But that's just like, what? Like, don't go home and just pop on the TV. Just don't go and hop on my iPad. I mean, that's, I can tell you, I have not implemented that. But that's very challenging to me. Why? Because, like, I sometimes go a week and I'm like, what did I accomplish this week? Well, I played Sudoku like 500 times. And I've got like a record of like 400 and 100, you know. I play Dominion on my phone, you know, again and again and again. It's challenging, but that's a drastic action. Do you go week to week and it's just like, what did I accomplish for the Lord this week? When did I talk to the Lord this week? What are the things in your life that are choking you out? Are you building Legos all day long? Don't worry, I don't. I just build them and they sit there and I'm like, oh, nice Lego. But what are you building? What's your hobby? Is it choking you out? Hobbies are great. We need hobbies. We need time to just chill and relax. But if it's 24/7, is it choking you out? Have you gotten a word from the Lord from reading your Bible at home in your own prayer time? I think about phone usage. Working with young people all these years, man, we had a youth event at our house one time, and there was a young person sitting on the couch on their phone, which is fine. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm texting. I'm like, oh, who are you texting? So-and-so. And I look right next to her, and so-and-so is sitting right there. And so we started making a rule. All right, you come to our house, cell phones are in our, you know, wherever. We took all the cell phones away. And they're like, ah! And parents are like, I can't get hold of my kid. And a world, you know. What happened when we didn't have cell phones, you know? Like, where's my kid? Like, you know. They are wandering and getting into shenanigans, you know. So, like, maybe your phone usage is the thing that you need to drastic cut. And say, you know what? After 8 p.m., no more electronics. Just a thought. Just an idea for parents. Be still, my beating heart. What am I going to do? Family time. God time. Devotion time. Is your life crowded? Do you not have time to think for the things of God because of everything else in your life? I don't know who this is for, but I felt the Lord lay on my heart the concept of school sports. I read an article one time about the soccer mom. It was talking about how crazy busy and stressful it can be as a parent, for a parent of kids these days because of the plethora of sporting opportunities to have, running kids here and there for practices and games. Maybe it's band events or artistic side of things. Even, again, like I mentioned before, the educational side of things can be so demanding. Oh, man, you're in seventh grade. You need to know what you're going to do in college and start taking these classes. And AP, it can be overwhelming. Are these things bad? No, not at all. But we have to take stock of our lives and consider whether or not we're crowding out God and the things of God from our lives. If your child never goes to a Friday night youth event because there's sports all the time, consider it. What are the priorities? Well, they'll live for God. Sadly, I've seen that. It doesn't happen. It's not made priority when they're... Because, you know, I had one time, like, a parent was like, well, I just kind of put it up to my kid at 12 years old, whether they want to go or not. It's like, what kid wants to go hang out with, you know? Like, you'd rather play video games at home and just chill. And so that's what they did, you know? And I challenged that parent, and they started like, hey, you're going, look. And the kid was like, okay, cool. Kids really don't care. But as parents, like, I'm thinking more and more, like, what's our stance going to be as parents? And it's like, you're going. Okay. You know, and by the time it's just like, hey, sports are important. Okay. You know, whatever you put as priority in their lives as parents, they're going to start taking on priority. And then by the time they're 16, 17, it's like, live for God. Well, amen. If you're taking notes, write down Luke 10:38-42. This is the story of the sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha was running around crazy-like because the house was a mess while Mary was soaking up Jesus being at their house, and she spent time at his feet. It's a great biblical example story of setting those priorities in the times that we need to. Obviously, housework's important, but in that moment. So check that story out. Look on your own. Every year, Fiona and I go through the house room by room, decluttering. Our nature and lifestyle is a very minimalistic one, and we try not to have just stuff in our house. And every year, without fail, we find some kitchen gadget that we just don't use, clothes that don't fit, or whatever. We get a pile together, give it away on CGC Free Sources, which is a Facebook group for giving and receiving. Or we make a trip to Goodwill. And just as similar, we need to take time consistently to declutter our lives. What is there things that are crowding me out? Crowding my spiritual life out. We need to prune some of the busyness out of our lives. Is it easy? No. When I prune back my burning bushes, we have some burning bushes as well, and my lilac bushes, I come out with scrapes all over my arms. And I'm a sweaty mess. And like pruning, or like weeding, pruning takes work, and it may go against societal norms, those drastic changes. Like, what? You would do that in this day and age, technology age? You would say no media during the week? Can't handle that. It may go against those norms or even the norms of others in church. Like, wow, you don't need to be that drastic to be saved. It's like, but you need to identify what your life needs, what your family needs, what needs to be decluttered in your life. Amen. It's up to us to make sure the soil of our hearts is ready for the seed. Jeremiah 4:3 says, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Stir the soil of your life up. Prune things down. Get the weeds out. Break up the fallow ground, the ground that's just been sitting there, that's hard and rocky. And break it up and let the seeds of his word be planted in our lives. And there will be fruit. There will be much fruit, much more fruit than before. Maybe you're seeing some fruit in your life and you feel content. God is wanting you to prune things back so you can just, and you're like, man, God, I want to be used more. Well, you need to prune some things back. And then the fruit will just explode in your life. Maybe there's things that are crowding out that explosion of you being utilized for the Lord and reaching out greater ways than ever before. We keep weeding and pruning our lives. The seed of God's word is going to take hold. It's going to begin to grow. It will flourish, and we'll be able to say that that seed was not choked out. Amen. If the musicians could come and you could stand all across the sanctuary. At youth camp, our young people were encouraged to measure things in their lives and kill the things that did not add value to their lives, keeping the things that were important. Those at family camp, I was not there except for one night, I'm certain were inspired to make changes. Maybe you weren't at camp this season, but you've come down to the front on a Sunday morning or evening or Wednesday night challenged to adjust things in your life. But again, I ask, well, have we made those changes? The seed is sown into our lives, but do we go out those doors and right back into the chokehold that life has on us? A question was asked in one of the sessions at youth camp that just been stirring in my spirit this past week, and as I've prayed, just trying to analyze my own life. And the question was, if not now, when? When are you going to cut out the overgrowth in your life? When are we going to take drastic action to remove the ivy from choking out your life? Well, you know, I'll work on that. If not now, when? If not today, when? If you don't get drastic, if you don't start pruning, if you don't start weeding, next year you're going to look back and family camp's going to come around. You're going to go up like, man, I'm still facing the same things. Why? Because you never weeded it. And it's like, you had good intentions. You had good intentions. You had a good thought. Oh, that seed. Oh, I need to change. Oh, I need to adjust. But it got choked out by life. By the cares of life, deceitfulness of riches, pleasures of life, by things just crowding our lives. Man, what a tactic of the enemy, man. We have so much stuff in the United States. It just crowds our lives are so busy. We can do something every night of the week and never take time for God. There's so much media that we can consume, so many sports we could attend, so many activities we can see and plays, and I mean, on and on, so many bucks we can shoot and diesel trucks as we can fix. It's never ending. But God just says, you know what? Look at your life. Weed out some things. Prune out some things. Amen. As they begin to sing this morning, I just want to encourage you to come if our altar team can come. There, you might be here this morning and simply you need a healing in your life. That's been a kind of a roadblock for you. Your physical body just... You're dealing with things, or maybe it's emotional need or a hurt. God will heal you this morning. I encourage you to come forward to the front. These folks up here will pray with you. Maybe you have something in your life that needs to be pruned, that needs to be weeded out. And come on up. Let that pruning begin. Get drastic in your life. Tell God, you know what? I'm cutting this out. I'm going home. I'm canceling Netflix if that's your situation. I'm making this drastic change in my life. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, man, that is the power. That is the power that helps us to see and make these changes. And so I would encourage you, come on down to the front. Begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to help you in this day and hour, in this time of uncertainty and stress and craziness of life. He wants to be the Lord of your life, the director of your life. Why don't you come down and pray? The folks will pray with you. Amen. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. Have all your sins washed away. If that's what's binding you up, if that's the ivy in your life that's choking you out, if there's sin, man, just come down and repent. Say, God, I need to get this out of my life. I'm going to turn a different direction, Lord Jesus. And be baptized in Jesus' name. He'll wash every sin away. Hallelujah. Come on down. Let's pray.